This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Priyanka Sahai and you're tuned into Setting Sail, our weekly podcast where we get you the country's best known entrepreneurs to tell you the stories by themselves. Now, becoming an entrepreneur takes a lot of sweat and blood. And in this series, the idea is to understand how these top guns negotiated the pitfalls in their lives and eventually got ahead of established legacy players. But before I begin, let me also tell you that our today's guest is not the conventional looking entrepreneur whom you would see coming out of the IITs with a backpack on the shoulders. Well, this very entrepreneur has spent a good 2 decades of his life in the corporate world before he took the plunge into the startup ecosystem. Today we have Amit Ramani, founder and chief executive officer of co-working space provider Office with Us. And if I were to literally go, currently he's making rooms for the startups to flourish in the country. Hi Amit, thank you so much for taking time out for
us. Hi Priyanka.
So Amit, if you know, I could straight away begin by asking you, you just raised a huge $30 million round funding from Chris Capital. And this happens at a time when, one of the global co-working space provider, WeWork, is actually going for an IPO. How does this entire space look like in the Indian market currently?
So Priyanka, I think the Indian market as we see it today is kind of at the ground floor of the co-working opportunity. There's a whole skyscraper to be built. The total numbers is about 15 million square feet is under co-working of 1 billion square feet space in India. We see this growing at least 10x in the next 5 years to about 150 odd million square feet. And it's a large market, so I think there is room for many players to coexist at the different price points they're offering the product. And we are currently the market leader and would want to continue to remain the market leader as the market matures.
Absolutely. And entrepreneurship came to you like quite after many years, if I can say, unlike the conventional set of entrepreneurs that we see on the street today. Now, how did entrepreneurship happen to you after having worked in corporates for so many years? And why co-working as a segment?
I became a first-generation entrepreneur in 2010, right, when I kind of bought the rights for Nelson, a business that I had brought from the US and set up as a wholly owned subsidiary. I bought the rights for India. I became a first-generation entrepreneur, and it was in the design and build space, right, focused on corporate clients. So I had a lot of history with commercial office interiors, understood that space really well. And then we started a business called Petra, which was in the facility management space in 2013. So both these businesses kind of prepared us well and gave us an understanding of how the Indian commercial real estate was working and how it was being managed. In my prior avatar in the US, I was basically advising companies on creating alternate work environments, right? Which was kind of the precursor to what we call co-working today.
Okay.
Companies would create hoteling or telecommuting kind of options. And so I had a lot of experience there. So all of these kind of three put together enabled me to look at co-working as an opportunity.
Okay.
And clearly with the India story as strong as it is and the kind of growth that's happening, people have understood that they want to focus on their core business.
Absolutely.
And not get diverted towards managing workspaces.
Okay. And you started in 2015 and I see the space to have become quite different from how it was back in those years. According to you, what has changed?
So there are a whole number of players now, which were not there in 2015. There's a lot of people that have entered this space.
Mostly from the US market as well.
I think there are a lot of homegrown players, in fact.
Absolutely.
I think out of the 300 players, probably there are a couple of players that are global, but rest of it are homegrown, which clearly tells you that there's an opportunity. Otherwise, in a sunrise sector, you don't see so many people. So from our standpoint, we feel that, what has changed is clearly the adoption has happened very dramatically, right? Today, when most players started about, and including us, we felt this was a startup and a freelance and a SME story. Today, the enterprise customers have taken this on in a very, very rapid way. In fact, today, out of the total pool, about 80% of our business, 40% from enterprise and 40% from SMEs is kind of the mix that we have. Only 20% is from startups and freelancers. I think adoption has happened very rapidly. Second, I think it has made the commercial real estate industry more buoyant, right? Because with the co-working players taking on a lot of space, people getting any options of plug and play, the price, the differentiation in terms of product has happened very dramatically. And third is the price differentiation. There is product available at a Mercedes level, there's a product available at a Nano level. We are kind of in the middle at the Toyota level, but there's a clear options that are available now today to the consumer. So I think these are three things that have happened.
Okay, and how do you see co-working as a solution for the small and medium industries in India?
So clearly, small medium industry is the largest portion of our service sector. Out of the 50 million white collar workers in this country, almost 65% is part of the SME ecosystem. And they were always kind of not able to get into a grade AA minus type facility, right? So they would go to a landlord, ask for 5,000 square feet. The landlord did not want to split up the space and they would have to go into substandard infrastructure. So for them, this has been a great, you know, story. And we have kind of feel that that's kind of our backbone of our success is the SME story, because we were able to upgrade them from a grade C type infra into a AA minus infra while saving them cost. So clearly, I think for the SMEs, this has been a great, you know, positive.
Okay, and going back to your enterprise part that you're talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, did you say 60% of the entire business is coming from the enterprise segment?
So 40% enterprise, 40% SMEs, and 20% freelancers and startups.
All right. So my question to you is, what actually has motivated the enterprises to come to this segment? Because conventionally, they've had their brick and mortar offices, they've had sort of buildings wherein thousands and thousands of employees sit.
Two, three things have happened, right? People have understood that this is not, managing workspace is not part of their core business, right? So clearly, we are not saying that enterprise customers are moving their headquarters, lock, stock and barrel to co-working, but clearly when it comes to their sales offices or their non-headquarters locations, let's say from 50 to 100 seats, the hassle to manage is the same, right? So clearly they feel that we can go into a plug and play environment or a shared workspace environment. It is less stressful to manage those kinds of locations. And so one is the option to get into a plug and play environment. Second is flexibility, right? Even a 3-year commitment instead of a 6-year commitment for enterprise is flexibility. So second is flexibility. Third, they are able to convert their capital investment into an operating environment. So all these three reasons, clearly the enterprise customers have taken this move into co-working as a result.
But is commute, in especially in the metro cities, also one of the factors that these companies are coming up and picking up co-working centers, which perhaps would be closer to the residence of the employees?
So we are seeing some traction. I mean, with our network of offices, we have 63 locations in 9 cities. In fact, in Delhi, Mumbai and Bangalore, within a 15-minute driving radius, you have a center. We are seeing some traction, but I think it'll take a little bit more time for people to accept the fact that somebody can work from a non-office location, right? Be it co-working, be it conventional office. We feel that in the next 2-3 years, that transition will happen where people will say it's okay to work near home or work from home as an option.
And what about the smaller cities? What about tier 2, tier 3 cities? What sort of adoption have happened there?
So we have currently one center in Chandigarh, which is a tier 2 city. We feel that obviously the market size is smaller. So the adoption obviously is happening, and we have had a very successful Chandigarh center. We this year will move into Kochi, Ahmedabad, Jaipur, Bhubaneswar and Indore. So we feel these tier 2 cities have a potential. In fact, some of these cities like Ahmedabad and Indore already have co-working players. They are not branded co-working players, but they are already there. So we feel that there is a market there, but 80-85% will still happen in the 7 metros, and about 15-20% of the growth as we see in the future will happen in the tier 2 cities.
So you have just raised a huge amount of funding from Chris Capital. Where would this money go? What sort of expansion plan is lined up?
So we became profitable as a business in November of 2018. So the burn in the company is almost not there, right? So all of this capital is growth capital that we'll deploy towards expanding our seat capacity. Same time next year in September, we look to be close to about 60 seats. Double capacity by 2022, we are looking to be somewhere close to about 200,000 seats. And so it's growth capital. Second, we obviously are building some tools and technologies, because clearly we feel that the tools that we build today from our technology enablement standpoint will help us manage and run and create a seamless customer experience. So we are spending some there, very little. And the third for us is expansion to new cities. So clearly opening new cities, establishing teams in those cities. So that's kind of where it is, but primarily it's towards growth capital.
Amit, you were also telling me about the IPO plans that the company has, and I would say that in the next 3 years, if that is what the company is looking at, it's quite an ambitious plan for the sector. How do you plan to go about it?
So, Priyanka, I think first thing that we had to achieve was profitability, which we did in November of 2018. We run a very tight ship. Our contribution margins are some of the best in the world, probably at this stage. Our net promoter score, which is customers basically recommending us, is in the high 80s, right? So these are done by independent agencies that have done these analyses. So happy customers, profitable company, you know, having the growth capital available, I think the ingredients are all there. I think we need to continue to execute well on our plans. And I think it's very doable in the next 3 years for take the business IPO.
And will that be an India IPO? Will that be a...
It'll be an India IPO.
It'll be an India IPO. And given the current circumstances, what sort of benefits or what sort of regulatory clarity would you need from the government to go ahead with that?
So it's the co-working space till date obviously has rules and regulations when it comes to the commercial buildings, requires licenses, requires the different compliances, but the space itself has very little regulation, right? So I don't think we need any specific things from the government as when it comes to regulation. I think a lot of transparency as it continues to build in the real estate sector will just help us, you know, grow the business faster.
Okay. So you yourself pointed out that there are about few dozens of startups in this very space that have been there in the country, including at least a couple of top global co-working companies that have come in the market. Now, according to you, there's a space for how many companies in this market in India?
Priyanka, it's a large space. There's a physical asset involved, similar to hospitality industry, where there are multiple brands that coexist at multiple price points, or like the banking sector, where there are multiple banks with multiple brands coexisting. I think companies in this space will coexist because there's a physical asset involved, which is a real estate as a starting point. I can't judge the number of players, but I think there is space for a lot of them to coexist at different price points. We feel strongly that, you know, a brand will hold a value. Customers will differentiate between product A and B. Customers are very price conscious, very value driven. So we are in that value segment. We want to provide the best in class workspace at an affordable price. That's kind of our mantra. And we feel in that space where 90% of India resides today.
And having said that, you know, like you just pointed out that India has value conscious customers. Now, you know, I have been to most of the co-working companies that have their offices in Delhi and Gurgaon, and some of them I found very fancy in the sense that they would have an amphitheater, they would have like, you know, food on the house, they would have luxurious looking infrastructure. Now, my question to you is, you know, what exactly has your customers been approaching you for, and what have been their demands?
See, clearly, since 80% of our business comes from SMEs and corporates, the customers demand consistency. They demand no surprises, right? So they want to be make sure that if they go into the space, everything works. So the reliability factor is very high. Affordability, because people are taking up anywhere between 20 seats to maybe 500 seats in some cases. So affordability and the value element becomes very, very important. And the third is they want something beyond work, right? I mean, our mantra is work meets life, right? Clearly, we are able to do a lot of things in terms of not just providing a great place to work, but also providing food options, providing events, providing things like alliances, etc. So clearly the customer today demands that, yes, a great workspace that works and is reliable, but it also demands what else can we provide to make their life more seamless and convenient and so on. So we have done a lot around the food options that we provide today. We also do a lot around the events, could be comedy festival, music festivals. We do a lot around health and fitness with our customers. And we just do a lot around fun as well, right? I mean, so all these things make it viable as an, you know, proposition for the customer.
So one quick last question, now that we're talking about the pricing, why don't you tell us as to what is the average cost of one setting up of one such seat for your client, and this across the three business models that you operate. I understand you operate lease as well as a revenue share with the landlord as well as a partnership of the sorts. So if you could just take us through these three business models and tell us how much of CapEx is required to set up one specific seat.
So the CapEx is the same for a seat, right? It's just the question is who is basically, you know, putting down the capital. The CapEx, without going into specific details, I think, you know, ranges somewhere around about 2000 to 2200 rupees per square foot on carpet. And that essentially translates for us as an average price of a seat at somewhere around 9 to 10,000 rupees on an average, right? Starts off at 5,000 for a flexi hot desk to about, let's say, a 20,000 rupee desk in a cabin in a place like Bandra Kurla. So that's the range, but the average would be 9 to 10,000 rupees a seat.
And this is what you're talking in terms of the capex provided, capex. And out of this, what sort of a split is done wherein the properties are not on lease?
The two models, the first model, which is the revenue share, profit share, 90% of it is done by the landlord. In the second model, 100% of it is done by the landlord, essentially because we are only acting like a management operator.
Sure. And what about the third model? There was a third model that we discussed.
So that's where it's 100%, right? So 90% in the second model, which is revenue share, profit share.
Okay.
In the management operator model, we are only acting as a operator, so there 100% of it is done by the landlord.
So it's been almost a little more than 4 years since the company has been here in India. And in the next 3 years, where do you see the market growing from here? And what are your expectations? In which circumstances, which environment would you actually be heading for an IPO?
So from our standpoint, we want to be somewhere around 12 to 14 million square feet under our belt at that stage. 200,000 seats is what we are looking to achieve, continue to remain profitable and, you know, hit the market at a point where obviously the market conditions have to be right. It's hard to predict what will happen in 3 years, but at least we want to make the business ready, IPO ready in the next 3 years. And then we'll see how the market conditions are and then take an appropriate call at that point.
All right. Thank you so much, Amit, for sharing with us all those details. And on that note, I would like to thank you for taking time out for us.
Thank you, Priyanka. It's been a pleasure.
So that's all that we have for this episode of Setting Sail. With this, we'll wrap it up with a promise to be back next week with another guest on board. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email is mcpodcast@nw18.com. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.